look with me there. 1 John chapter 3, just a tiny outline in your bulletin if you'd like to follow along there. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John, John's talking a lot about false prophets. He's talking about false teachers. He's talking about false doctrine that's being peddled back even back then. And so we've been looking at that a lot in 1 John. And today we're going to talk about a little bit about guilt and the conscience. And he's going to kind of like settle some folks down there, which will settle some folks here as we look at 1 John 3, verse 19. 1 John 3, verse 19 through 24. Verse 19 says, 1 John 3, 19, "And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of his Son, Jesus Christ, love one another as he gave us commandments." Verse 24, "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." So John here in these short verses, the first part of the text we read today, he's describing the condition of our hearts. We sung about the heart this morning, and he is describing the condition of our hearts, and the kind of heart God intends for his children to have. And so it's very interesting to study this morning as we think about that type of question there about what type of heart do we have. Now, how many of us from time to time, and this, I'm just speaking to you and myself as well, but how many of us from time to time have doubts, maybe insecurities about our standing with God? Maybe just last week, we did something, we said something, we thought something that wasn't Christ-like. What about that attitude? Last week, the week before, this week, that we demonstrated publicly. Maybe we had a languor that reared up. Maybe others seen that. They seen an action. They seen anger. They seen conduct that you and I, who claim to be Christians, because we are Christians, but they saw that in our lives. Or maybe we did nothing verbally, nothing public, nothing that folks could see, but inwardly, maybe there was an unclean thought that passed through our mind. I'm only saying that so we can think about what John's talking about here. What John's talking about is the condition of our hearts. And one of the worst trips a person can ever take is a guilt trip, meaning that we think things, we do things, stuff blurts out, and then all of a sudden we're being kind of convicted that, hey, Christians aren't supposed to act like that. They're not supposed to talk like that. They're not supposed to think like that. And all of a sudden we have this guilt going on. And so John is going to put a stop to that and try to clear it up for us this morning on simply what's going on and how to handle that if that happens to us and it happens to everybody. So look with me in verse 19. That's 1 John 3:19. We'll start here. "And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him." Now that word assure means that because we're of the truth, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," and we understand that we know Christ is our personal Savior, then we can be assured, have assurance. We're going to see that more in chapter 5. We can be assured, have assurance of our salvation eternally. And so because we have that truth, then we need to simply make sure we have that settled, that nailed down, that surety, so that when we have a thought, when we say something, when we do an action that's not Christ-like, we can simply understand that there's no use for us to start questioning our salvation, because we simply have assurance based on the truth of the Word of God and Him alone. Now, the word assure, which means to persuade, to soothe, to tranquilize us during those times. In other words, we got to simply go back to the truth, go back to our testimony, go back to where we got things settled with Christ. In other words, we all have a conscience. That's what it's all about here in these verses. It's about our conscience. We all have a conscience. Now, spread an understanding, what that means is this. It means that conscience is an inner voice, inner feeling, inner intuition that acts as a guide to what's right or wrong. That's the conscience. That's how it acts. That's in layman's terms, how the conscience works for those of us who are saved. And by the way, our conscience is the custodian of our destiny. In verse 19, it says, we know we are on the side of truth. So as Christians, we already know we've got that settled. And we also know we have two natures. We also know until we go to heaven that there's always going to be a battle between the old nature and the new nature. But John is saying, hold it, but you've got some truth. You've got the truth. You can be assured of your salvation because of the truth that God's Word gives us. And therefore, if you do have some thought or some feeling or some intuition about something you said or did or our answer or something that we've done silently or a bad thought or a wrong thought, then we can dispel. Because of the truth, we can dispel it. And simply understand that we can ask forgiveness for that and ask God to keep us from doing that again. And to simply realize that the truth that we have banked on based on His Word will simply realize that we're not saved. Because what it does, it plays on your emotions. It plays on, am I saved or not? Am I a Christian or not? Saved people shouldn't act like that or say that or talk like that or have anger issues like that. And so we can dispel it, making any doubt, feeling, or belief disappear. And that's the goal. Let it disappear. Don't let the devil, don't let the enemy tear us down. Don't let him pile up on us and try to make us feel worse than we do. And therefore, conscience can be good. Conscience can be not so good. But because we're on the side of truth, that's God's word here, and John's word here, because we're on the side of truth, then we can realize that a healthy conscience avoids shipwreck. And that's what we want. We don't want our journey to end bad. We don't want our journey to disappoint the Lord. We don't want our journey to disappoint others. And so we all on the same page there. Now, illustration is I drive a 2011 Lincoln SUV called the MKX. Cheryl and I've had a car a long time. We've had it so long that we have 360,000 miles. Now, I like that car. I trust that car. I have faith in that car. And so, you know, it's been a good car for us. And however, like all vehicles, especially one that has 360,000 miles on it, they have in-dash warning lights from time to time. Your car has them. My Lincoln has them. And sometimes those lights are not really, like, real serious. So Cheryl and I were going to Cleveland, Ohio last year. And so we were going to Cleveland, Ohio, and we was getting to St. Louis. I wanted to get from here to past St. Louis before we spent the night. And all of a sudden, a light just blinks on my dash, going down the interstate, just came on, and it was something to do with the tire pressure, low tire pressure. It was dark outside. It was raining outside. And, of course, that light just flashes on, and you're going like, what should I do? Well, you know what you got to do. You got to like stop and make sure the tire's not half flat. But what it does, it's a warning. And we got it fixed. It was a relatively simple thing. It wasn't really a problem. But sometimes with engine life, we'll talk about your engine's hot. Sometimes it'll talk about stuff where just recently, something came across my dash that says your fuel cap is not tight. Isn't that something? And it's just warning. And so that warning is much like the conscience. It's the conscience of your car, your vehicle. And so that warning blinking, that warning that lights up, that warning that flashes, simply is just a warning for you to say, hey, maybe you better take care of this. And so for the driver who ignores it, for the driver that disregards those lights, like I'll get to it eventually, and you know, a year later it's still on. I mean, here's what happens: troubles ahead, as you know. I mean, if that light's on, probably troubles ahead if you don't get it diagnosed or if you don't get it fixed. Breakdown might be possible if you don't get it fixed. Expensive repairs are probably in the future if you don't get it looked at and get it fixed. So just like that, we can understand that. Just like that, God has given his followers, you and I, Christians, his children, built-in warning lights called a conscience. He gives us a conscience. All of us have a conscience. And our conscience contains red flags, alarms, mayday notices, allowing us to function as God has intended. And so if you get convicted, or you get intuition, or you get a feeling, or you start thinking about what was said in a conversation, then that's the conscience working on our behalf. Not to make us say we're not saved, but just to simply allow us to deal with that. And you can deal with it, or you can carry it. And so that's what John's talking about here in 1 John chapter 3, verses 19 to 21. Now, it's a witness. It's a witness to what we've done in thought, word, or action. And it can be a judge passing judgment what we've done, either good or evil. And so we have to deal with it, just like the blinking lights on our dash. As Christians, our conscience can function according to the new standard that keeps us on track spiritually. That's the purpose of the conscience. Once we're saved, our goal is to simply follow Christ and be Christ-like in our actions. Our conscience is a self-judging faculty. And that's what it is. It's a self-judging. It kind of keeps check on us that no one else can. Now look with me in verse 20:21. Scripture says in 1 John 3:24, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. So if our heart condemn us, so it talks about right there, if the heart condemns, so John's dealing with the issue of the conscience, discussing two conditions of the heart. Now, by the way, when it talks about the heart, it's referencing the internal part of men and women, boys and girls. It's the internal part of it. It's really the inner thinking process of mankind. That's what the heart is. It's not that muscle that pumps. It's the inner thinking, the inner decision making, the internal part of us. So first of all, I want to talk about the condemning part. For if our heart condemns us, John says in verse 20. Condemn means accuses. Condemn means blames. Condemn means to find fault. If our heart finds fault, or if our heart accuses or blames us. Now, since we as Christians know ourselves better than anybody else knows other than God, then we know our inner thoughts. Not everybody knows our inner thoughts, but we know them. Since we know ourselves better than anybody but God, then we know our relationship to others. Is it phony? Is it fake? Is it superficial? So we know our inner thoughts. We know our relationships to others. Since we know ourselves better than anybody else other than God, then we know our prayer life. Is our prayer life as important as it ought to be? Only we know that. So the things that we know about us. And so our hearts make us aware of our shortcomings or our failures as followers of Christ. That's the warning lights. That's the alarm. That's the red flags that tell us, like, look, we're not living the Christian life. We're not living Christ-like. So this condemning heart can be very hard on true believers. It condemns us, and if we're not careful, he gets into it. But if we're not careful, it gets us to thinking about, are we saved? And that's the thing he's teaching again. No, you got the truth. You guys are of the truth. You know the truth. You know you're saved. And so when those things come up, you can't throw in the towel. You can't quit. You just got to work on you, and I got to work on me, and we got to work on us to do that. So number one, the condemning heart. Number two, the convicting heart. Now, the convicting heart, let me tell you a story that you're familiar with. That's not a great story. It's a great story to tell, but it's not so great. In John chapter 8. The Bible says in chapter 8, here's what it says, don't miss it. It says, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience. Let me tell you a story. They which heard it. Heard what? Well, they heard the words of Jesus in verse 7 in John chapter 8. Here's what Jesus said. They heard him say, he that is without sin, cast the first stone. Now the story is this. Jesus was teaching in the synagogue. He's teaching a Bible study. He's leading it in the synagogue. And the Bible says in John chapter 8 that some men had brought a woman in there, dragged her into the Bible study. Jesus is teaching. People are engaged. They're simply focused in, and all of a sudden there's a destruction. And all of a sudden, as Jesus is teaching publicly, this group of men drag this woman from outside in publicly, verbally accusing this woman of catching her in the very act of adultery. Wow. Read that verse to you again. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience. See, there's a condemning heart and there is a convicting heart. So let's go forward. Last night, maybe you went to bed. You went to bed happy. You went to bed relaxed. You woke up, you went to bed happy, relaxed, refreshed. But then you woke up with a guilty conscience. Maybe the week before, you lost your temper. Maybe the week before, then we were a hothead. And we woke up with a sense of uneasiness, a sense of guilt, condemned. The evil one attacks us. He attacks our faith. He attacks our reputation. He attacks our testimony. And he pushes condemnation. And we're convicted. See, like the story Jesus gave there in John 8, the conviction sets in and it awakes our guilty conscience. And the devil begins that we're saved, but all of a sudden we're so guilty. We have this guilty conscience and we're condemned that all of a sudden, hey, all of a sudden we begin to doubt. We begin to question our own salvation. We begin to say, well, you know what? I've been saved a long time and I'm just lukewarm. We begin to doubt maybe our salvation or our real walk with Christ. And we decide, well, you know, I don't care as much as I used to. I'm indifferent. I'm cold. I'm disinterested. And the devil will put that in our minds and we'll begin to think, well, maybe I never got saved. Maybe I'm not saved now. And that's what that happens. And John says, no. You take an alarm clock. I used an alarm clock this morning. Two things about an alarm clock. One, the clock stays quiet while I'm sleeping. Number two, the thing an alarm clock does, the clock makes noise when I'm supposed to wake up. You use an alarm clock, and that's the way the conscience works. It just works. And a lot of time, the enemy, the devil, is against us, trying to get us to doubt our salvation, and that's when we're to wake up. In Romans 9, it says, "My conscience beareth witness, Christ is truth." So it goes back to John's words that, hey, we have the truth on our side. We have God's truth that never changes. We have God's word that we can believe in and accept. Our hearts, doubts, and questions can be silenced. Not because of what we did, but because of what Christ did and what his word says. So there's a condemning heart. Number two, there's a convicting heart. And thirdly, last of all, there's a confident heart. Look at verse 21. "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God?" John is saying, look, settle down, take it easy. Look what I'm saying here. When our conscience condemns us, when our conscience convicts us, John said, hold it, God is greater than our hearts. God is greater than our conscience. His truth overwhelms and trumps all our hearts' thinkings or thoughts or feelings or doubts. And so confidence is based on the fact that we have believed in Jesus. It goes on to say that. Thus we become part of God's family. And when you become a God's family, you're in it to stay there. You're in it eternally. You're in it because of what he did, not what you did. We've been born into it. Verse 20, God is greater than our heart. Greater than our heart. In Psalm 32, the story is about King David. King David became discouraged. You know the story. King David, the apple of God's eye. King David, more verses written about him than the other single character in the Bible. But more chapters written about David. I mean, man, he was the guy. He got into awful sin. And the Bible says he began to feel guilty. Well, you ought to feel guilty when you get into sin. And David proves it. And he got discouraged. In Psalm 32, he says, "Day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me." It means, man, I could hardly stand the pressure of my conscience. Like, hey, I shouldn't have done that. Hey, I'm better than that. Hey, I know better. I shouldn't have done that. And so the Bible says that he cries out, David, day and night. He says, "Thy hand, God's hand was upon him." It's not God's physical hand. It's the conscience working on him, which is what we need in our life. David's strength was depleted. His spirit was depressed. His soul was drained. And that's what can happen to us. That can happen to us. We can find ourselves with a condemning heart and a convicting heart. And if we're not careful, we will focus on that. We'll focus our attention on that. When we ought to be focusing our attention on God's mercy and God's love and God's forgiveness. Because the one God that we serve is omniscient. And God don't subpoena witnesses on his behalf to prove to us that we're guilty. No, he don't do that. And so he's all-knowing. He knows us before we ever confess it. So no one can teach God something that he don't already know. No one can teach God something that he's never learned. He's all knowing. And he also never forgets us, his children. And so trusting in our God gives us a confidence that supersedes, trumps the condemning, convicting part. And so all I can say is this: our conscience is not the Supreme Court, and we're guilty, so we must not be saved, and so we have to be confused and doubt all the time. No. There's a higher court, and it's higher than the Supreme Court. The court is God. God's is the final say-so. Our Heavenly Father don't deal with us in harshness. God don't judge us wrongly or severely, but on the basis of his grace. We serve a good God. We got a good Father. In the military, when the commanding officer enters the barracks, everybody stands to attention. Then the officer says, "At ease." Every soldier there breathes a sigh of relief. God who knows our actions, our conduct, our thoughts, says to our conscience, when we start being condemned or convicted, God says, at ease. I love you. At ease. You've got this. At ease. You're still alive. So David, who was full of guilt down in the dumps, he says in Psalm 32, he goes on to say, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. And so guilt's not a permanent condition. No, 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 no. We can rest in God who is greater than our sin by never ignoring the powerful ally that God has placed within believers called the Holy Spirit to battle guilt. So God put that place that in us. Only we have the Holy Spirit that assures us those things we're talking about. And I'll close real quick. Verse 22 and 23, here's what it says. It says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. Whatsoever we ask. He said, hey, we have that. No one else has it. We have it. We can ask and he'll hear us and he'll answer our prayer. It's speaking of prayer going to God, asking for definite things. James says, you have not because you ask not. Let me ask you, how's your prayer life? Do you pray for definite things, specific things? Can I just tell you about prayer? Prayer is not a spare wheel that we pull out when we're in trouble. But prayer is a steering wheel that allows us to direct the right path throughout our life and our journey. So John is teaching Christ, our childlike confidence comes to us. And because we have that confidence, we are to go to him and ask forgiveness. And then ask for specific things, detailed things, big things, little things. Hebrews says this, let us therefore, Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. That's what we get. So don't be depressed. Don't be discouraged. Don't be beating yourself up because of a guilty, condemning heart, which causes a confusing heart. But let's just simply focus on the confident heart, where we're confident, not in us, not in the flesh. We're confident in him. Now there's a condition. The big condition, verse 24, is keep his commandments and doing the things that please him. There's my last verse. Here's what it says. Over in 1 Samuel, you know the story. But the Bible says this. The Bible says, the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh at the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh the heart. God don't see all that and condemn us, convict us, confuse us. No, 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 no. He sees the heart. And the heart is when we are convicted, we are condemned, personal, then we just go right to the truth, who happens to be our Heavenly Father, and just ask him to clean us up, to help us do better in that area. And so, God sees the heart. Let's pray. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Let me ask you, how's your heart? If God's seeing your heart, how's your heart? If God is seeing your heart, he does. We see each other's outside. Man sees our actions. Here's our conduct. Here's our words. God sees the heart. I want you to see a confident heart. He sees it. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for John's, 1 John's exhortation to us today. Father, we pray as we think about this personally, each and every one of us individually, that, Lord, that we would simply make up our minds to try to understand that John just simply saying, look, if you've been saved, nail it down. You know your testimony. And that'll get you through all those doubts, all those feelings, all that condemnation that the world gives, the devil gives, the enemy gives. Father, we can be confident in your word, confident in what you do, confident in our faith, that we can live a joyous, productive Christian life. Lord, we love you. Speak to hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand. The room is going to lead us. If we can help you this morning, you come.
Just as I am with was shed for me,
anybody,
thou didst
be. You got red lights flashing on your dash of your life. Warning, warning. Alarm, alarm.
My God, I
Thank you so much for your attention this morning. God bless you.